Places, please. Places for the top of Theater Countdown.
And stay out
and bring me back my lunch.
Because that's what we're talking about today, friends. We're talking about lunch.
Yes.
That's right. The podcast has started.
It has. We did it. What is this podcast?
This is Theater Countdown Podcast, your favorite Razzly Dazzliest theater podcast this side of the Great White Way. I'm your co-host, your Broadway buddy, Ben Cameron, here with my Broadway buddy, Broadway producer, influencer, magic man, Michael Judson Berry. I'm introducing you. Can you believe it?
Thank you. You're very good at introducing. You did better than I would have done. I would have been like, and it's me. That other person.
And that would have been true.
That's true. It wouldn't have been wrong, but yours was just a much... I feel fancier now, so thank you.
Oh, my gosh.
My rates just went up for all the things.
Oh, good. Great. Well, let's see. We'll just times your current rate by 10. Oh, it comes out the same. Interesting.
Oh, darn.
That's weird. It just came in the same.
Yes, here we are. How have you been? Do you have any fun tales, stories, adventures, misadventures since I've seen
you? So I saw, I think I talked about this before, that I saw Suffs.
Oh.
I saw Suffs on Broadway.
Okay, wonderful.
And I really loved it. I really, really loved Suffs on Broadway. It's very much a Broadway musicale. Okay. And there's not a lot of like fancy set. It's just incredibly talented women telling a very cool story. Jen Colella, what do you want? I mean, Jen Colella, Emily Skinner, Hannah Cruz. But I loved it. I've been posting on my socials. I really do think people need to come see it. I don't know marketing-wise how well it's going to hit with audiences on a super big commercial level on a really crowded season. But I was at the coffee shop this morning, and I saw Shayna Taub sitting at the next table. And
oh, cool.
I don't know how often Shayna Taub gets noticed having coffee. But she was wearing a Suffs hat, and I recognized her immediately because I'm like that. And I turned to my boyfriend. I was like, "That's Shayna Taub." And so I purposely made a point that I would not stare at her while she's trying to enjoy coffee. And it's also, she's still in preview, so she's probably there to rewrite the entire first act or whatever. But I did on my way out with my matcha in hand, stop to let her know how much I loved her show and that putting the word out, and which I'm doing right now. You should all go see it.
There you go.
And she was so kind and so sweet, and I know for me, as long as someone's not being like really invasive in your time, I always like knowing if somebody likes my work or like stops me, you know, like on the ship when I had that guy who came up and said that he's been watching us on YouTube.
Yeah.
And I just love that, as long as it's not, you know, too long and too over the top. So I was like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to tell Shayna Taub while she's having her coffee that we're out here and we're loving it. So
great. And who knows how that like might have influenced her day, because maybe she was there rewriting Act One and she was like, oh, I don't know, I'm frustrated, and then you came along and said how much you loved it, and that was just the boost she needed right then, along with the caffeine. But like, you were the emotional boost that the caffeine just couldn't do, you know. So who knows, maybe you just saved the show single-handedly.
Maybe I'm the emotional caffeine of the theater world.
Yeah, you are.
Maybe that's
you
what I am.
You are the double latte of emotional support when it comes to theater.
Well, call me Taylor.
Yeah.
that's insider.
That's
Did you all get it?
God, comment if you know what
comment
song
if you got that
referencing.
Reference.
Thank you again.
But I thought
Rosie
that was
O'Donnell
nice.
Show. That is nice.
To see our theater icons out in the wild.
Yes.
It's very fun. And I'm going to go see Heart of Rock and Roll, the Huey Lewis musical. I'm going to go see that tomorrow.
Awesome.
And what else did I recently see? I saw something the other night.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to think of your Instagram.
Yeah, like, so am I.
What has he posted about recently?
Oh, yeah, I saw Sign of the Times.
We talked about Limpika. Oh, Sign of the Times.
Sign
oh,
of the
cool.
Times, which is, you know, just... It delightful. You got to go in knowing what you're getting. It's, you're going to hear these songs that you know and like, and a really talented cast is going to sing and dance them at you, and it's going to be silly. And
great.
if you're looking for, you know, the next great piece of art in your life, that's not what you need to expect going into Sign of the Times. But I enjoyed myself a great deal. But yeah, so I like this time. All the shows are opening, and I like getting to see what I can.
Yeah, it is an exciting time. I'm trying to think what. I saw Patriots, which was amazing and upsetting. Yeah. I'm seeing Great Gatsby this week, though, and I'm very excited because I haven't gotten to see it yet.
Can you believe
I'm going this week?
It's so I've been talking about this. It is so absolutely crazy to me that this is happening again in the theater space, where there are two really formidable musicals of the same piece. Out there in the world right now. Great Gatsby is opening on Broadway, and then Gatsby, An American Myth, written by Florence Welch of Florence and the Machine, is opening at ART.
Yeah. So we're going to have two Gatsbys at the exact same time. One just made it to Broadway first.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens. Because, the Phantoms. Like, the Maury Yeston Phantom never actually got to go to Broadway because Andrew Lloyd Webber's got there first. And it the machine, you know, that it became. So the poor Maury Yeston Phantom.
You know, even the Wild Parties. Let's not forget the Wild Parties.
Yeah, the two Wild Parties.
That canceled each other out. And you're like, it's impossible that this is happening at the exact same time. How angry would you be if you were one of the writers?
It makes me think, what were lost musicals that never happened? That maybe was there a Lusitania musical when Titanic was happening,
It
just got there first, and then it sank the Lusitania. who knows? other musicals never made it because one got there first, and it was the other one was just nearly getting there. You know,
I mean, God bless them for seeing it through at ART. And what if it's a far superior piece of theater? Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, I love the idea that maybe we'll just have two Gatsbys on Broadway. You can see one and then walk across the street and go see the other one. Have a double bill Gatsby day.
There's just no way, right? It's just impossible.
I don't know.
I don't know. I'm intrigued. Hey, listen, if you like talking about stuff like this like we do, you've got to make sure you're following us on social media at Theater Countdown, theater with an R-E, because we are respectable theater artists.
Yes. Indeed.
And we will write... And we will spell correctly, but we won't spell fully if you're following us on Twitter/X, where we're just Theater Count, because ain't nobody got time. We want to know what you think of the show. Rate and review us. Rate and review us. And we'll read your reviews online. Follow us on Patreon. Subscribe to get bonus content. We're ushering people into our secret world. Our secret Facebook world is up and open for business, and people are coming in. So join the fun. It's so cheap that it doesn't even matter. So
exactly. It's less than a coffee that you could buy and consume while Ben comes over and tells you how great your show is.
See? Like, ba-da-da-da-da. Hey!
Amazing. Should we get to
our special guest?
Yes.
I've been thinking of nothing but lunch since our last episode, and I need another voice in the park here.
Yes.
So, and this is the perfect guest to have. I've never before have we had a guest so suited for our countdown theme. Do you know what, my stomach is grumbling.
Why?
It's time, because I'm so hungry. I'm so hungry for some snacks in the form of a picnic. And guess what? Our special guest, as promised, as advertised, as as sold in stores, she's here. She is the maven of the picnic playlist. You know her, you love her. Carly Heitner's here.
Oh my God.
Hi, Carly.
Hi. Thank You're so you much better than Tums, me. Which is, I thought, what you were going to say you needed, Ben. So... You know, where your stomach was going.
I absolutely do need Tums.
Yeah. I'll take it. Better than Tums? I'm going to put that in my bio now.
That's your new... That's
better
your
than Tums.
You are. Oh my gosh. Picnic playlist, .. Better than Tums.
I mean, that's a pull quote if I've ever heard one.
Absolutely. Do you know what? My mother, and this is going to just tell you everything you need to know about me and my family dynamic, my mom is the queen of Beano. Do you know what Beano is? Beano is like this little pill you take before... You eat something, and it's supposed to stop the gas from happening later on.
And my mother swears by it. So, like, you could be at, like, the Polo Club and, like, the fanciest restaurant at Le Cirque. And my mom's like, does everybody have their Beano before you eat? So,
yeah. And he shows them what I need to suffer. I get it.
And that's the maternal instinct at play, I suppose, isn't it? Yes. Doesn't want us to suffer. Carly, congratulations on your series, Picnic Playlist. Yes. It is so fun. It is so cute. It's such a fresh idea.
Love
which
it.
We love. It feels super fun and organic, and it just feels very you. Can you talk to us about how this started for you?
Yeah, for the two people out there who have not
who
seen
don't know.
This,
right?
Take us on a picnic.
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, first of all, thank you guys for having me. I'm so excited. I'm such big fans of both of you. So honored to be chatting with you. And that's so kind of you to say. I love Picnic Playlist. I started this last summer. So it hasn't even been a year yet, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Which is like insane. But before that, I was doing content, just like general content for shows on Instagram and TikTok. But I always wanted to do a series and have like a more of an intimate moment with people and really talk to them, but also do it in a fun way, because so much of the content that we see is like pretty surface level sometimes. And the type of content that I love, like interview style content, is that of like talk shows when like Jimmy Fallon's like playing games with people and things like mm-hmm. that. So that's where a lot of the inspiration came from. And after doing all these red carpets and seeing the way people reacted when I was doing like fun games, like I would do a lot of normal questions and then I would throw one fun thing in there and see like if it worked, and it did. So actually last year at the parade opening night carpet, I asked the cast what their pre-show playlist was, like what's a song that you're listening to, a person that you're listening to, and that video did super well. Mm-hmm. So then I was like, okay, I think I have something here. I love music. Like I always have my AirPods in. I'm always listening to different music and beyond Broadway music. Like something quirky about me, I love country music. Who would have guessed?
The new Beyonce album?
Oh my God. It's everything to me.
Get out of here. I'm also a big country fan. So
I'm a big country fan, but can I just say something
country
that's going
unite.
Mm-hmm. That's gonna get me canceled. I'm like a diehard like Reba McEntire, Trisha Yearwood, Martina McBride. I like the ladies because they're telling stories and they're belting their faces off. But I just want to suggest something, and this may get us canceled, and this will be the last Theater Countdown podcast ever.
Happens.
It's okay. Not a country album. It's a Beyonce album that's got some country references in it. It is not country music, right? Let's be honest.
Okay. That's the point. She said that. Right. She was like, this isn't a country album. It's a Beyonce
100.
Album.
But that's exactly right. So, and I say this to all the haters out there who are like crucifying her, like, this is not a country album, blah, blah. She was never going to make a classic country album. It would be absolutely ridiculous.
It's a Beyonce album that you could play on your bachelorette in Nashville. Is what it
exactly.
is.
Absolutely.
And you could wear, I broke up my cowboy boots that I haven't worn in years, and I've now worn them twice. So.
And by all means, boot scoot boogie all night long. But let's stop pretending like she made a country album.
Yes.
Because she says yee-haw
so
twice.
Yeah. That's so real. But it's and so good.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry, we digress.
Sorry.
I love listening to music.
I was living with that by myself, and now we can share it.
No,
thank you for sharing. It's a safe space.
I'm glad you got that off your chest. I thought it was really
thank
important.
You.
I love country music. And so I love hearing what other music people love, especially Broadway people, my favorite Broadway people. Like, what do they love beyond Broadway and within Broadway? So that is what inspired, like, that parade carpet interview kind of inspired everything else. And then also last spring was when I only moved to the city 2.5 years ago now. And
welcome.
So thank you so much. So last spring was only my like second spring or summer in the city. And I really discovered Central Park, Sheep's Meadow, where I just would sit out there and picnic and have a great time with my friends. And I just felt like I was having the best conversations with people and was having the best time. So then when I was trying to figure out what this, I knew I wanted to do a series always. I knew I wanted to transition to that one-on-one kind of interview talk show-esque thing. Mm-hmm. So when I was trying to figure out what it was, I had the idea to do a picnic basically and do the angle with the music. So I was like, what better way to talk to someone that I love, that people love and want to hear about and hear about their shows, than having a picnic together? So bringing a little basket, putting down a blanket, also like doing an interview with some food never hurts.
Yeah.
Everyone's always like much happier and much more willing to share with like food or like a little drink. And then now we go through their playlist and I want to hear about what they love to listen to, because when I go on a picnic, like someone has a speaker, we're listening to music, and that's very important. And someone is on that queue and making it happen. So that was kind of the whole origin story behind that.
That's awesome.
You've gotten in some great dressing rooms and had some great guests. What have been the biggest surprises for you? Who has dropped some music that they're totally into that you were like, I did not see that coming?
Oh my God. I actually think that a lot of the guests, I don't see what they're going to say coming. Mm-hmm. Because I honestly, I know everyone has such different tastes and I have no idea. Like when my favorite question to ask is like, what's your Get Ready With Me song? Like, what are you listening to in the dressing room before? Because that's what you're really vibing to at the moment. And it's mm-hmm. normally not Broadway because you're about to go do a show. So you're probably not listening to like, you know, a Broadway show. Surprising. Jeremy Jordan.
I was going to say
rock music. And I was like, okay, some like early 2000s, 90s music. And I don't know what I was expecting from him, but that was really exciting for me.
Well, after you had to explain to Jeremy Jordan what a Get Ready With Me song is, which is adorable that he had no idea. I feel like that was his most sort of like dad moment I've ever seen.
He's so pookie coded. It's ridiculous.
Wait, what did you just say?
Pookie? Do you know who Pookie is?
I don't know what Pookie is. Educate me, please.
Okay. So Pookie is this like viral thing on TikTok where there's this couple and they're like really bougie and they do like date nights. And the guy is like this like Southern gentleman, I guess. And every time he talks about his wife, he like calls her Pookie. So like, mm-hmm. he's just this like kind of like adorable man, like little man. And that, so it's just become a term, like being like pookie like, and Jeremy Jordan is pookie like, if that's helpful.
I can see that.
It is. It also makes sense to me that he's into that kind of rocky, almost metal, because that's his band kind of leans into that. That's the kind of music that they're making. And I remember the first time I listened to that, I was like, ah, didn't see that coming.
It's like another side of him. Like one day he's Jay Gatsby or Jack Kelly, and the next day he's like truly rocking out.
Yeah. Don't fence him in. We can't.
Exactly.
We can't.
Yeah.
And you know what? You can never fence Jeremy Jordan in.
No. Don't even try.
No. I mean, it wouldn't have to be a particularly tall fence, but he would still find a way to get over it.
Short King Spring.
He and I are the same height, so I can make that joke.
Short King Spring.
Yes.
And also, what you were saying before about Jeremy Jordan, when he said, like, what's a Get Ready With Me song, that's something that I have leaned into, but also tried to dial back depending on the guest, because I'm very Gen Z, the way I speak, like everything. And I'm like, oh, some of these people are like not, and I can't just like talk the way that I normally talk and be like, what's your, he's like, what does that mean?
But those are such fun moments when you have to like translate for them. Where you're like, okay, this is what this means. Yeah. Like
us and boomers.
Jeremy was also my first guest that I had on, so he was the first one to do it, which is like insane.
That's amazing. Yeah,
last summer, and it was actually during a press day, so like a bunch of the different press outlets had different time slots to come, so I had like a certain time slot. When I showed up, he was like, it was on the stage at Little Shop at the West Side Theater, but he was not there yet. He was like backstage somewhere. So I like set up my blanket. Keep in mind, he's my first guest. Like no one's seen it. No one knows what this is. No one, whatever. I set up my blanket. I set up my basket with my little cupcakes. And I'm sitting on the floor set up like in my dress. And he walks out and he's just like, I have this like romantic picnic set up for him. Like, all day. He's been doing normal press. He was like, what's happening? But he was so game. and so fun and so great, and I'm so grateful. But it was
he
amazing.
Must have been so delighted by
I was
that.
Gonna say,
like,
what a great
different.
Way to break up his press junket.
Yeah.
Day.
Like, he's like, I can sit
especially
on the
you
floor
gave him
and
snacks
eat?
And drinks. Like, forget it.
Exactly.
Carly, how do you pick the snacks? Are the snacks specific to the guest?
Great question. The first time when I did with Jeremy, honestly, Jeremy, like, thank God for him, because I did all the kinks with him. Like, I just learned so much. I just brought, like, random cupcakes. But starting after that, it's a combination of, like, if there's something that aligns with the show. So, like, for Alex Brightman, Shark is Birkin partnered with, like, a candy company, and they had a massive gummy shark. So I brought that, and it was, like, the size of my head, if not bigger, honestly looked disgusting. But, like, I was like, you know what? Like, I'll bring that. That's, like, so fun. And so I brought that for Alex, and we literally both took a bite, and it was just, like, insane. So a combination of, like, things that relate to the show. For the cottage, we, like, had some scones and, like, biscuits and things. And then if I can't think of anything for the show or it doesn't make sense, I'll just normally ask the guests. I'll be like, hey, what's your favorite snack? And I'll bring them something they like.
I find you can't go wrong, and don't, you know, feel free to throw this in the boomer trash, but I find everyone, no matter what they say, enjoys some Kentucky Fried Chicken out of a bucket. And especially if they have to sing later on. That'll grease your chords up so good.
I mean, Raising Cane's, like, let's get this going. Let's get some Raising Cane's on the blanket.
Is there one now? There's one now in Midtown, isn't there?
On 44th.
Yeah.
Yes. You're like, how do you not know this?
On 44th and Broadway, right next to Hayes Theater.
I'm trying to prove myself to the Gen Z queen here. I'm trying to, like, get in good. It's like, I know that.
You're excelling right now.
Thank you so much. It feels good to excel.
Yeah, I'm sure.
All right, let's take this picnic to the next level. I think it's time, and this is, we always like to bring our guests into our sick, demented world of games, Carly. And today's game is sicker and more demented than we could have ever imagined. But there was a game that we used to play in school where you would go on a picnic with, you would decide who you were going on a picnic with, and we have to go round table, round robin around, and say what we're going to bring to the picnic. So let's say we're going to the Broadway picnic. And we need to bring, we together are going to set up the perfect playlist from A to Z. So we'll go round robin, and each of us has to offer up the next track on the playlist. And you can use a cast album, or you can use a show tune, or get creative with it if you're feeling stuck. Does that make sense?
And is that's this like we're going alpha in an alphabetical thing, or is there
that's
like...
exactly right.
Okay,
it's alphabetical.
So we're going A through Z. Oh, gosh.
Yes, absolutely.
I can't imagine I'm going to be good at this, but I'm so excited to do it.
Do you know what? None of us are going to be good at it.
Yeah.
That's fun.
And that's like the biggest thing when I do these interviews is people are like, what, like a little stump sometimes. And then they're like, what would you say? And I'm like, I have no idea. I'm asking you.
You're like, there's a reason I'm on this side of the picnic blanket.
Of the picnic table.
Like, I'm going to have to answer today. So, but I'm excited. I'm ready.
All right, so we're skipping into Sheep's Meadow. It's the big Broadway picnic. We've got to set up a playlist. And I think we should start listening to Anything You Can Do, I Can Do Better.
Okay. Should I go next or do you want to go, Michael?
Ooh, Michael, you go next.
The next song that we're going to is Back to Before, because we just can never go there. We can't.
Yeah.
We have to keep moving forward, and it's the beginning of the alphabet, so we move on.
Love it. I'm going on a picnic, and I'm going to listen to Carrie the Musical, is what I'm going to
Yes, you are.
I'm going on the Broadway picnic, and I'm going to listen to Don't Rain on My Parade.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
And I'm having a particularly aggressive picnic day, and I just throw my hands up and I'm listening to Evita, and I'm just like,
I'm going on a picnic.
I'm just listening.
Yeah.
You're doing great.
And I'm going on a picnic. I'm going to listen to the whole Funny Girl album.
Oh.
Yes,
on top of Don't Rain on My Parade.
I'm going to the Broadway picnic, and I'm going to listen to the cast album of Gigi, because we brought eclairs.
And on my picnic, I'm just on a real kick of secondary characters, and I'm listening to all of Helen Gallagher's songs from Sweet Charity and No No Nanette.
And you know what?
What?
Me too. I'm sure. Going on a picnic.
Me too.
And I'm gonna listen to Idina Menzel in If Then.
Yes.
Ooh, double points. I'm going to the Broadway picnic, and I'm gonna listen to Just Keep Moving the Line from Smash because I like belting.
Mm-hmm. And at my picnic, I ran into someone I haven't seen in forever, so I obviously am putting on Kismet.
Mm-hmm. You didn't expect to see him, but there they are. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank God I brought Kismet with me.
Thank God. I'm going on a picnic and I'm going to listen to Lamest Place in the World from 13 Musical.
Yeah, as you should.
Just to really get those vibes.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Pretend I'm a going... child.
Yeah. I'm doing it right now. I'm going on the Broadway picnic, and I'm going to listen to The Music Man.
Nice. And I'm still at that same picnic that Helen Gallagher, and I loved her so much, I listened to the whole No No Nanette album.
I don't know who Helen Gallagher is. Okay.
She won a Tony Award for No No Nanette in 1970-something.
The more you know.
And I can't wait to go home and listen to No No Nanette after this. I'm going on a picnic. And I'm going to listen to and do full choreo for Oh My God, You Guys.
Yes. Oh, I want to be at the next picnic over and listen and watch that whole thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to play every part as well. Yeah.
As well, you should.
I'm enjoying the picnic, and I'm enjoying being here with all of these people who need people.
So much fun here on our picnic, which makes sense.
Yeah, there's a lot of Barbra Streisand.
That scans, yeah.
At this particular picnic, I'm switching over to a movie musical album and listening to Queen Latifah in Chicago.
Oh, fine. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go on a picnic and I'm going to listen to Rizzo in Greece singing There Are Worse Things I Could Do.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
Specifically Grease Live, Vanessa Hudgens version.
Yeah.
Which was so good.
Which was so good. We're sleeping on Vanessa Hudgens. So.
Yeah, and we should
real though.
We really should not be.
And we have Gigi and this on our picnic. So
we're really getting to her propers.
Yeah,
because we know. Let's see. I'm going to the Broadway picnic and I'm going to listen to Seussical. The musical, because it's a nice day out, and I think I just saw a Lorax go by.
Ah, as one does. That wasn't that was Sherry O'Terry. She's just back in town.
Common mistake.
Yes. And my picnic, I'm all about, again, thinking ahead. So I'm listening to the Titanic cast album in anticipation of the Encores production.
Wonderful.
Not Titanic. Titanic.
Not Titanic, although they haven't put out an album yet, but I'm watching all of the Titanic TikToks as well.
Yeah. Mm. Thank God for Nicole Parker. I'm going to a picnic and I'm going to listen to You're in Town, the musical.
I love that show.
Yep. I'm going on a picnic and I'm going to listen to Venus in Fur. What is Venus in Fur? Why am I saying that?
That was a play.
That's a play. I'm just going to tell you.
It's an audiobook. It's an audiobook. Yeah.
There you go.
Is that the one with
Nina Arianda?
I saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was like deeply, deeply twisted and sexual. But I'm going to tell you guys while we're listening to Gigi the plot of Venus in Fur.
Mm-hmm. Wait, what comes next?
Oh, W. God.
Thank you. Well, in honor of you helping me at this picnic, I'm going to listen to the original cast album Wicked as Ben, you are probably featured on there somewhere.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm going to picnic and I think I only have one answer for this and I'll be listening to Xanadu is what I'll be doing.
Yes. Why? I'm going on the Broadway picnic and I'm going to listen to Oh my gosh, You Matter to Me from Waitress, because it's such a beautiful song, and I'm having very tender feelings about my guests.
Oh, at mine and the final picnic of the season. I in Sheep's Meadow. I had it catered by my favorite Greek restaurant, and in honor of that, I'm listening to Zorba the Greek while eating falafel. Which I've never heard that soundtrack, but I'm sure there's some real bops on it.
Well, and the good thing
is that album. That album.
Thank you very much.
We got most of our soundtracks, and I get yelled at.
I know, Carly. I'm trying to train him. Don't worry. And we're all of this was brought to you by our good friends at Zabar's. Well done. What a great picnic playlist.
I really didn't think I was going to be able to keep the alphabetical order. I was like trying to remember the alphabet so hard there.
And you did the best, honestly. You hesitated the least. I'm in awe.
I was like blacking out during your answers and just trying to like zone in for what was coming next for me is what was happening.
But. Do you know what? That's how I hold most conversations, frankly. I just stare into their eyes and think about what I'm going to say next.
Yeah.
I like that. That was brought to you by Funny Girl and Helen Gallagher. You're welcome.
What a wonderful picnic. I'm going to stay for the whole thing. All right. Carly, I don't know that we've ever had a guest who fits the theme of our countdown so perfectly as this one. Since we are counting down our dream Broadway performers, dead or alive, in any context, that we would like to have lunch with. And we need to know your top five.
Yes, please.
Top five,
starting
okay.
Starting with five.
Down. Yeah, oh yeah, sorry.
It adds tension.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm so excited.
Starting with five.
Okay.
I'm going to go, this is may seem random, but it's not, with Susan Blackwell.
Oh, nice. I don't find that random at all.
No.
I mean, delightful.
It's not random to me, but might feel random in the scheme of things. But yeah, Susan Blackwell.
Tell us why.
Yeah. Well, side by side with Susan Blackwell. Is my everything. Yep. Sorry. Still constantly on loop. In addition to title of show, also my everything. And I think like Picnic Playlist is based on the like shoulders of side by side with Susan Blackwell immensely. And I've actually never met her. I've never spoken to her. I think it could be possible, but like I can't even reach out. Like it's just too much for me. That is my everything. And I would kill to sit down with her side by side, Susan Blackwell style, and like have lunch and just like chat all the things and have her lick my face.
And please record it obviously, so we all can watch that conversation because it will be magical.
And I love her. And in high school, somebody for like a class I did, I had to sing a title of show song and I was Susan Blackwell.
Naturally.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Naturally.
She will hear this. She's a big fan of this show and she'll be really into that.
Oh my God. And I'll throw up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
No.
Yeah. But wait
not during
after
the lunch.
Lunch.
Yeah. After lunch, yeah.
Before or after. That's how you can bookend it. No, don't. Yeah. That'd be hard. All right.
That's great.
Four.
Number four.
I think I'm going to go with Sutton Foster.
Fun. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Explain for yourself, Heitner.
For me, Sutton Foster does no wrong. I think she is the triple threat. I think her career is just like so wonderful to watch. I would love to sit down and talk through like from beginning to end everything. I know there's some lore in her life. I would love to hear all about it. Yeah. I don't know if we're having like a candid conversation, but if we are, I need to know. Okay. I think that we could gush over so many things together while I gush over her. Sutton Foster is big for me. Like, I saw Violet with my grandmother, and it just changed me. Yeah.
It was so good.
She would be fun at lunch, too, and I think she would tell you all of the lore.
That's the most
important thing. I'm like, it's a balance of, like, who do I want to hear, like, some advice, some stories, and then, like, who do I want to get into their lore? And like, dish. Let's get a few drinks and let me hear all of that. So for sure. And also, must we not forget that she was Princess Fiona?
Let's not forget that. And I couldn't forget it.
And an understudy in Grease, right? Or was she the full-time Sandy? And an understudy in Les Mis.
Yes.
All her, like, three famous moments. And Star to Be. She was the star of her story. So good.
She's got a resume. And I'd love to talk through it with her.
Yeah.
And it's got everything. I think even in particular with this Mrs. Lovett curveball she threw our way, like, I just feel like she's fearless and she can mm-hmm. and should and will do everything. Well done.
Oh, yeah.
She is so also, funny. Like, wait.
Her TV days, like Bunheads, like, anyway. Oh, my God. And Flight of the Conchords.
Younger. Is so good. Every season is so good. And I just saw her in Once Upon a Mattress at City Center. And I don't know if either of you saw it.
No, I didn't. I'm so bummed I missed it. I needed to transfer.
It needs to transfer because it was so good. And there's one point where she's like at the top of like a stack of 20 mattresses and just like flailing herself all over this bed. And it like feels like she could fall off at any moment. And my friend next to me was like, look at this. And I was like, she's not falling. She's Sutton Foster. I have no doubt in my mind that that woman will stay on there. She will bend her body in any way off of that bed and she's not going to fall. I wasn't worried for a second.
She won't fall. No. She's Sutton Foster. I'm going to think that all the time now.
No. She can't fall.
When I see her walking down the street, I won't be concerned anymore. I'm going to be like, she's Sutton Foster. She won't fall.
Was there some cross promotion that was missed there with the mattresses? Isn't there like a Foster's and Sealy mattress company? Am I making this up? Maybe there was a moment for some cross promotion or something, right? Is there a Foster's and something that's a mattress company? Somebody look into this. All right, number three.
Number three.
Oh, number three. Okay, number three is my Elphaba lunch. Ooh. So I would love to have a lunch with all of the Elphabas who've ever
That is
played.
A big lunch.
Last
I hope you. I hope you're reserving it now because you're gonna have to get a big
yeah,
table.
Yeah. We're doing a prefix, Last Supper style.
Okay.
With all the Elphabas. If you asked me to pick like four, and I had to do smaller, I would go Idina, obviously, Lindsay Mendez, Bosque, and Manny Gonzalez.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Ooh.
So those are the four that need to be at the lunch, but I would also love to have just like every Elphaba there. I mean, dream.
Can I tell you that? Like, I'm going to tell you that at some point, two glasses of rosé into that big conversation, things are going to get dark. I guarantee it. I guarantee that's going to get dark about by the time
And I'm okay with that.
Once you get to the risotto. Like, yeah.
Right. When we get to the resort, I feel like Susan Blackwell is like more like advice and light and fun, sudden, right? Like we're getting some lore, we're getting whatever. And Elphaba maybe is a moment for our trauma.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Exactly. Exactly.
Also, this just in, it is the mattress company is Stearns and Foster, so they really could have done it. Okay.
Well, all right. Pray for a transfer.
Here we go.
All right. Moving right along.
Number two, and like some people may call me basic, but you know, my brand is my brand and I love what I love. And number two is Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Sure.
That's not basic at all. He's brilliant.
Because obviously, like, first of all, In the Heights is just my favorite thing. In addition to like Rent is also one of my favorite things. So I think we could talk about Jonathan Larson for a long period of time. And nobody's more eloquent and interesting and talented to me than Lin. So I would love that one with Lin.
Ooh. And I bet he's picking up the check at the end. I just have this feeling about him.
And you know what? So. If someone will pay for my lunch, I'll come anytime.
Done and dusted, man.
I'm in.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be good. I love that. That would be he would be a lot of fun. I'll be at the table behind.
Yeah, maybe we could have lunch at the Drama Bookshop. Like,
there you go.
The limit does not exist.
And then after lunch, you could like walk through Drama Bookshop and just see what books he chooses. You know, gosh,
what is he drawn to? Yeah,
yeah. Because I feel like what's on a person's bookshelf tells you so much about them or lack thereof. You know,
that's the next series.
And on
what's
their
on your shelf?
Right,
picnic bookshelf.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. And Picnic Bookshelf.
Picnic Books.
It's a working title.
It's like Reese Witherspoon's thing. You just keep making it more and more, like Hello Sunshine. You're like, starts with picnics, then you have a book club, then you have, you know, keep growing.
Picnic Brothers
Book Club. Until Meryl Streep is sitting next to you just screaming. You know,
yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Thank you.
Natural progression of things.
Yeah.
Okay, right. Number one.
All right, your final
number
lunch.
One.
Your final lunch this week. It's Friday afternoon. Where are you going? Who are you doing? Who are you doing? Who are you doing?
Who are you doing? That's, where are you going?
That's a different countdown.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's we'll have that countdown later. But my ultimate top tier lunch is with Jonathan Groff and Lea Michele.
Oh.
It's the three of us. We're at Leah's Hampton's house on Long Island having lunch. Or we're
that
at Jonathan's farm in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Maybe we're doing both. Maybe we're having a weekend together. But it's definitely with the two of them.
Amazing.
That, you're going to have to pad the walls because the stories that's going to bring up.
And I mean, wear a poncho because it's going to be like made of the mist because he's going to get excited.
Yeah.
We're going to get some spinning. And imagine, like, we all know what they spoke about in that documentary. Mm-hmm. Imagine what they talk about not to the public. Like, I'm ready. I'm ready for the stories. I'm ready for the Glee lore, the Spring Awakening lore, the Funny Girl lore, the Merrily lore, like,
oh
the
my God.
The Hamilton lore. Like, Lea Michele and Jonathan Groff are just,
there's
the
so
best
much.
To do it.
Yeah.
And they're like That's best friends. True. So like I feel like I would fit right in with like that friendship. And like it wouldn't even feel like any sort of it would just feel natural.
Totally.
I could also like Lea can bring her family, like Ever can come, the new baby, like
perfect.
You know, Uncle Jonathan's there, like Aunt Carly, it'll be perfect.
Auntie Carly. God. Yeah. Oh my God. This would be the first of many lunches. I could see this being one, and then you guys you're like, we're doing this every month. Like every third Friday we do this.
Yeah. An exclusive club.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and I'll pick up the bill. I'll do whatever I need.
If they let you do that, then I'm worried about them. Carly, those are excellent, excellent choices.
I love that.
And you're an excellent person, an excellent friend, and everyone needs to be watching what you do because you are a light and a gem and a shiny gem light.
Thank you so much. That's so kind. And I feel the exact same way about you both.
Aww.
This was so fun.
Thank you.
All right. Well,
thank
tell the
so
people
much.
Where they can continue to follow and catch up on everything you're producing and everything, all the series, all of it.
Because you wear so many hats. So
oh my
tell
God.
Us about all of them.
So many hats. It's just piling. It's like the mattresses and once upon a mattress.
Yes.
You can follow me at Carly Heitner or at Picnic Playlist everywhere. Instagram, TikTok, YouTube Shorts, Threads. No, I haven't used Threads yet. But yeah.
Well, you've got some standards, for God's sake. We can't just be all jumping on Threads because they told us to.
Exactly.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Carly. And we are going to now talk about our top five lists.
Oh my God,
can you
perfect.
Believe it? Yeah. Thank you so much, my friend.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're the
Keep
best.
Up
it's
the
so
good
nice
work.
To like finally get to meet you.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I know. I'm like, I feel like our worlds have crossed so much. So it was so nice to like have a conversation.
Yeah.
I can't believe you guys like asked me to do this. Like, this is so cool. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for doing
it. Of course.
Of course. All right. Well, thanks again. And I'll talk to you soon. Let me know if you need anything.
Yes. Okay.
Mwah. All right.
What a I can't wait to go on a picnic with her one day. If I ever have a cool enough show or dressing room for her to come chit chat about.
I'm very interested in the things that she and the people she wants to talk to because we're generationally in different places. But yeah. I like the way that she coined that she wants the lore
yes.
of all, which is like all the backstage gossip of all the stuff. Like, I mean, let's be honest, when she was talking about Sutton Foster, I know she's talking about the whole crazy Sutton Foster, Christian Borle, Laura Bell Bundy thing.
Yeah,
that we like to pretend like we're above, but I want Carly to call me after the lunch.
Yeah. Oh, 1,000%.
And
do
let
it
me know.
Quick, like what did she say?
Yeah.
I mean. Anyways, well, shall we continue on with our?
Let's
our
do
lunches?
A red hot recap of our.
Oh,
top
that's right.
10 through 6, and then we're gonna hit you with our
Great.
Top 5. Shall I go? I'll go.
Great.
My number 10.
And go with me on this, because was absolutely an actor in the theater, is William Shakespeare, because I want to know how much of his stuff he actually wrote. Number nine, James Earl Jones, who I think was a trailblazing godfather of black theater and has a Broadway theater named after him, for God's sake. And you all just know him as Darth Vader, and it's time we paid attention. The original Driving Miss Daisy, get into it on stage. My number eight, Meryl Streep. I don't have to say anything about that, because obviously Meryl Streep. Number seven, B. Arthur, because, I mean, it's B. Arthur. And my number six, Alan Cumming, who I do actually know and have kikied with a little bit, but I need to have lunch at 3 a.m. after cleansing my palate of my dinner, my lunch of cigarettes that I had with Arthur.
That's, I was going to say, I love that you and B. Arthur just went out for cigarettes.
Well,
they
ate cigarettes.
And you ate them, and maybe with a little bit of gravy, we're not sure. Would you flambé cigarettes? That seems like, anyway.
it seems like what you would do.
Seems right. Yes. Okay. My top 10, 10, Mary Wicks, the person who you didn't even know you were a fan of, but you are. And she was in literally everything. I'm going to say 200 movies and 80 Broadway shows. The woman did not stop working. She didn't have a day off for 65 years. Ethel Merman, because she is the Mama Rose, the Annie Oak, the Mama Rose, who knew everybody and helped sort of launch American musical theater as we know it. Number eight, Ian McKellen, because I'm a little bit obsessed with him, and I just want to hear all the stories from, you know, the original National Theater, RSC, like all those days, and just what a delight. He seems like so much fun. Gregory Hines, my number seven. Just because who doesn't love Gregory Hines? I mean, the epitome of cool. If I'm there, I am going to be slightly cooler.
If you haven't listened to the last episode, you need to, because you will get the full rundown of what Gregory Hines is wearing at this alleged
imaginary, I don't even know what we're eating, but I know
imaginary
what he looks
lunch.
Like. Yeah, it was well photographed in my brain. And number six, the absolutely wonderful, beautiful Dick Van Dyke. Just because, like, if you can't have lunch with Santa Claus, your next best—I mean, Dick Van Dyke's the next best thing. Actually, I think he's going to be better than Santa Claus.
Better.
If you come in frowning, he's going to help you put on a happy face.
Face.
Like, what a doll.
You'll walk out stepping in time.
You will.
I am so jealous of that on your list that I can hardly see straight. I'm so mad that I didn't think of it.
Well, so that's why we got each other. I was upset I didn't think of William Shakespeare. That one, I was like, incredible choice.
Well, all right. Now it comes down to the nitty-gritty. Only five. 1 zillion actors, living and dead, stand before us. Only five will get to come to imaginary pretend lunches with Michael and myself.
Yes. We'll look out, Glasshouse Tavern.
Yeah. Look out, Risotto Balls. All over town. Here we come.
Hold your hats, Tova Felcia. So I don't know why. She was the last person I met at Glasshouse Tavern.
That'll be
she
it.
She popped into my head. She was lovely.
Tiny.
I was going to say, should I jump in? Because I feel like mine is a springboard from my number six.
Go for it.
So my number six, as I said, was Dick Van Dyke. My number five is Cheetah Rivera. Who famously did Bye Bye Birdie with Dick Van Dyke. I love Cheetah. I never got to meet Cheetah Rivera, but everyone I know who has come in contact with her, I know somebody who was her dresser on Edwin Drood. I know a lot of people who have worked with her, been around her, who only said that she was one of the nicest people they have ever met. Mm-hmm. And talk about someone who also just never stopped working and worked on some really iconic productions. And then just... like, I remember Jason Alexander talking about when he did a show with her. He was in The Rink with Liza Minnelli. When Liza would call out and half the audience would leave. You know, they were there to see. And those were the performances that Cheetah would get the cast together and be like, we're going to put on the best show possible because these people who stayed want to see the show. And like, and everything you hear about her work ethic. I just think she just, I would just love to just be in her presence for lunch and just learn and grow. I feel like she makes everyone a better person.
I'm intrigued by what you said about the work ethic, because she really did kind of have it and spoke of it very freely to kind of the younger generation of working actors coming up, and how in her mind there was a seemingly seeming lack of discipline that she had always held to a very high standard in doing the hard work and being ultra professional, and she talked about that a lot, and I think it would be really interesting to sit to watch her talk about it with spinach in her teeth.
Yeah, and also what her early day, you know, she performed like on the Ed Sullivan Show when she was super young and was such like a trailblazer in so many ways. Mm-hmm. And it's yeah, I mean that clip. Yeah, I definitely like enjoy that YouTuber. Yeah. Like go watch that now.
Her hair is so tall in that clip.
So and does not move.
Not move.
I mean, she could be in the famous New York earthquake, and you know what's not shaking? Cheetah Rivera's hair. but she did so many things that I think a lot of people don't even know about. And
yeah.
And when you talk
Merlin.
About Merlin. Yeah, so and from that generation, like the Gwen Verdons who didn't mark, who didn't believe in marking,
mm-hmm.
who went full out every single time, but also the fact that she was then so kind and so nice and like never, you know, never let the business, it sounds like never let the business get to her.
Yeah, you know? And worked up to her dying day. I mean,
literally,
truly, literally. And what would you eat with? What would you eat with her? What do you guys have?
Oh, what am I eating with Cheetah? To me, also, she feels, again, like just such a class act. I don't know. But something light. You know, it's light.
Yeah.
I already said an Iswa salad. What are we doing? Mm. I don't know. Maybe like a beet salad. She seems like someone who would appreciate good digestion.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's important if you're a dancer. If I learned anything from a dancer's life, it's that gut health is essential.
It's key. This is going to make no sense to anyone, but I used to think this was the funniest idea that I was like, I don't know how we create this character, but you know, Cheetos brand snacks, you know, Cheetos that you get your fingers
all
yellow.
Yeah.
I love a Cheeto. Are you a puffy or a crunchy Cheeto guy?
Ooh, crunchy, but I love both.
Yeah, but crunchy all the way.
Yeah.
You monsters who dress like a puffy. How ridiculous. But, you know that famous poster of her for The Dancer's Life? Her arms are kind of up like this.
Yeah.
And I wanted somebody to do an illustration of Chester the Cheetah in that pose in some heels. And create like an image that said Chester the Cheetah Rivera. I just thought that would be
a Cruncher's Life. Yes.
I just thought that would be. I don't know what I wanted to do with it, but I wanted it to exist.
It needs to exist.
So maybe for you, the Chester the Cheetah Rivera. Yes. Okay. My number five is Miss Madeline Kahn.
Yay!
Madeline Kahn, who was a Tony Award-winning actress, an icon of films, did a whole run of the Mel Brooks films in the 70s. Mm-hmm. She made her Broadway debut in the 60s. She's had multiple Tony Award nominations, you know, in musicals. She won for The Three Sisters.
The Sisters Rosen.
Right, Sisters, that's what I meant. There was something about Sisters.
Yeah.
Maybe less Chekhov. But, on the 20th century?
Yeah.
Was that her?
That was written for her.
Yeah. She just was... Kristen Chenoweth named her dog Maddie, her little Pomeranian that she had at the time that's probably dead now, but she named that Pomeranian Maddie for Madeline Kahn. Madeline Kahn was Kristen's icon. What she wanted to...
You can tell.
She wanted to emulate. And anytime you get a clip, there's that famous clip from Carnegie Hall of Madeline Kahn doing Not Getting Married Today. It's so good. And she's just this weird comic genius. And she was an opera singer. She sang... She was trained in opera and sang at, like, an opera restaurant when she was going through school. And she's just so quirky and... You know, existed in a time before we could really dig into all of our idols' personal lives because of the internet. So I'd be very curious to know. And also worked always. She died at 57.
She was young when she was doing. She was on a show.
It's insane.
What was she on?
Cosby.
She was on a sitcom. Cosby. Yeah.
She was
as
the next
sort
of neighbor.
Like kooky neighbor.
Yeah.
I feel like she'd be a fascinating one too, because when you see her in an interview, she's so weird. Like, I think that was part of her comic genius, was that, like, she was one of those people who thought she was just making the logical choice, but it seemed super out of the box because that's just how she thought.
She thought, yeah.
And so she's so that's what I want to get to know. Weird. Like, for all you know, that lunch could be like her telling like in-depth stories about like working with Mel Brooks and developing on the 20th century and why she left on the 20th century. Uh-huh. Because she left like soon after it opened.
She was supposed to. Well,
and Judy Kay got her Peggy Sawyer moment because Judy Kay was her understudy and she took over. Because Madeline also was like, I don't want to do this. Like, just left the show.
She was supposed to be in the MAME film. She was cast as Gooch.
Oh,
Madeline
yeah.
Kahn. And according to Madeline Kahn, Lucille Ball had her fired for artistic differences. But Lucille Ball always claimed that Madeline really wanted out of the project anyway to go do... Oh, what's another one of her famous projects? And I can't remember it off the top of my head, but I read about it earlier.
Was it one of the Mel Brooks ones?
It entirely possible. I think it was Blazing Saddles, actually.
Okay, if she did good choice, because she got nominated for an Oscar for that.
Yeah, so I'm tired of being admired.
Oh, wait, have you ever seen...
Let's face it, I'm tired.
What... It's visit. I'm sad. Her first ever movie with Barbara Streisand, What's Up, Doc?
Oh,
have you ever seen
What's
this
Up,
movie?
Doc? Yeah, yeah.
Where she plays Eunice, and she—it's young baby Madeline Kahn, and she is so funny. Like, the whole movie is very funny. You know, like Barbara Streisand looking at her, being like, "There's a person named Eunice," but she, Madeline Kahn is G. You can see it's like she's doing that weird, like, I talk in my head voice thing.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
And of course, if you still don't know who we're talking about, Mrs. White in the Clue film, flames on the side of my face, burning, breathless, heaving breaths. I hated her so much. And then her descant He's a Jolly Good Fellow that she sings. It's just
quietly soaring over all of them.
It's unbelievable. I need lunch with her.
Yeah, I was gonna say all that to say it'll be like either chit chatting or her just being like sitting in the bathtub, do, 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 which she did on the Rosie O'Donnell show. I don't know if you've ever seen that clip. She randomly just like sings this song about like sitting in a bathtub, and it's so weird. And you're just like, who is this woman?
Why is this woman?
I know. Think... And her vanilla ice cream YouTube that like she's just a brilliant YouTube rabbit hole of her singing.
I just think it'd be fascinating to know what that brain does. And I think we need corn dogs. I suggested it.
Great.
And see what she thinks about that.
I think she'd love it.
It's on a stick. You know what I mean? We could be on the go.
Yeah.
Or we could eat them in the bathtub.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. My number four. I may be cheating. Tell me if I'm cheating. This is sort of a two for the price of one. Can I say number four, Lunch with the Chums, which is Carol Burnett and Julie Andrews?
Why not?
Because they call themselves—they're best friends, and they say like they call themselves the Chums, and so that's why I was like, how can I get two of my all-time favorite performers?
Wow!
And it's Julie Andrews and it's Carol Burnett. I think Mary Poppins was my favorite movie as a child, as we all know, and the Carol Burnett show was—I was obsessed with it the moment I discovered it, and I loved Carol Burnett since like Annie. I think was the first thing I ever saw her in. And then when I found out that they were best friends and have been best friends for over 60 years, blew my mind. And their stories, like when they talk about each other, it's hysterical. They're like two little kids. And like how in real life they're swapped. Like Julie Andrews is the real potty mouth. And Carol is actually like really buttoned up in real life and kind of a goody two shoes. Which is just hysterical. Like Julie Andrews would be like, oh, that bitch. You know, like they seem like, it would be two living legends just getting together and acting like two little kids. I imagine Lunch with Them would be sort of like a sketch they did from one of their variety shows where they just got in a food fight on stage.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because they periodically would do these two-person shows. It'd be Julie and Carol at Carnegie Hall, Julie and Carol at Lincoln Center, and they would film them. And I want to say their second one won an Emmy. And they would sing songs and do sketches, and they just clearly are having so much fun together. But then also talk about two just icons who have been in the industry on Broadway, on TV, on film forever. So their stories just must be so good. I just think
I can't even imagine. I would sit there like this, and this is
I would just be like, you two have
my
a ketchup.
Chin on my fists. Yeah, mm-hmm. And I just want to slurp soup. You're having soup, mm-hmm. I assume. I don't know why.
I don't know. Oh, wait, you didn't say what you... Oh, Madeline Kahn, you're having corn dogs. I was going to say, for the true Clue fan, you're having soup with Madeline Kahn. Just like... But, oh, I don't know. I feel like they're both kind of like burger gals. Like, I feel like they're grown up for burgers. But I can get a soup. You can come too and order soup. And we'll just sit and listen to them. Just catch up. And just be like, Julie Carroll, just chat about what's happened.
Oh my gosh.
Palm Royale and Bridgerton. Go.
Not for any of that. I just want to hear Julie Andrews be a potty mouth. I just want to hear Julie Andrews be chastised by Carol Burnett for using the F word.
Because you know she... Like, there's a story about how when Julie was like, how funny would it be if we pretended to be lesbians and make out in front of this elevator to shock this director we're working with? Like, they used to pull pranks on their directors together that apparently Carol was always like, and Julie was like, oh, come on, it'll be funny. Like, she's such, like, the instigator, but then Carol... Like, that's what I mean. I think it would just be such fun. So yeah. And then to hear their stories just must be unbelievable. So that's my number four, the chums.
Well done. That's a value meal is what you got.
Yeah.
Right there.
So funny.
My number four is I'm taking a play from your book, Juddy, and I need to know all the inside scoop from Gwen Verdon. I need to know I need to know what was really all Gwen's idea. What did she really suffer through? How angry was she? How resilient was she? I bet she has some horror stories about Bob Fosse that we will never
I can
know
only imagine.
The true level of depravity.
Yeah.
Going
and then
on
also
there.
Even like Hollywood stories, because she was a dance coach, the dance captain on a lot of big Broadway Hollywood movie musicals. As
oh,
well
yeah.
as being one of the greatest Broadway stars
Tony
of all
winning
time.
Star. Yeah.
Like I who just... was sort of the OG triple threat.
Yeah, like, and if you watched Fosse Verdon, she's such an endearing character as portrayed in that. I just want to know all of it from her point of view. Yeah, and the Hollywood days, and yeah. So I want to have with Gwen Verdon, and we're gonna have Gwen and I are gonna have Patty Melts at the diner.
Ooh, great.
Yeah.
And I feel like she'd be down for that.
May not eat the whole
poor
thing.
Gwen. She probably won't.
No, I doubt it, but...
But she'll make sure you eat the whole thing.
Yeah,
she feels
exactly.
like that kind of person. Like, she didn't eat very much, but you ate, and that made her happy. Ooh. Yeah, I can
and
only imagine. That's going to be a sad lunch.
But you know what? I'm in for it. I'm in for it, because I'm gonna bolster her up. You can come to this lunch. You
okay,
should
good.
Be at this
Thank
lunch.
You. I do love
you,
her.
You should be at this lunch, yeah.
Thank you.
And have some soup. Thank you.
Thank you.
Number three.
My number three is one of the cattiest people in theater history, which is why I'm pretty sure the accent, the clipped accent helps. It's Noel Coward.
Oh, yeah.
I really want to have tea with Noel Coward because, he was someone who never sugarcoated, and I feel like had like the dirt on literally everybody, and then put it into a song and perform that song like in some club in Atlantic City. And he would do, you know, and he has one of my favorite records. I have a record of him. It's like him in Las Vegas, and it's so fun. And he rewrites the lyrics to like a Cole Porter song to simply make fun of Cole Porter. Like,
oh my God.
Talk about one of the like wittiest, cattiest people ever
in history.
Like,
Stritch created
Elaine Stritch's nickname for Sail Away. But not on top of the theater stuff. I also just love Noel Coward plays. Like Private Lives is one of my favorite plays.
Yeah.
The Vortex, which is a play he wrote about how much he hated his own mother. Which a little known one because it was a drama that he wrote and starred in when he was 25, I wanna say. And it's about like this young, dapper gay man, and also I love that he was like out and proud gay at a time when a lot of people weren't, and about a mother who was like this horrible mother who was a coke addict and her affairs and how she ruined his life, and it was about his own mom, and he wrote himself a monologue where he just rips her apart. Like, talk about a guy.
I'm snapping for that.
Yeah, and it's such like a fascinating like self-made person who like went from like this cockney like vaudevillian style performer to like one of the epitome of class
elite, the theater
of
elite
his time, and literally dated royalty. Like, that's another thing. Like, on top of the theater stories, like, he also had affairs with, like, royal princes at the time. Like, two...
What?
Yeah, like, two of Elizabeth's uncles were, like queer, uh-huh. and two of them had affairs with Noel Coward. So, like, if you love, like, royal family history, he also is very in that scene of, like, the roaring 20s, 30s party crowd with the young royals.
What's the Noel Coward biography that I need
it's,
to
it's
read?
It's on my table. I haven't started it yet. Okay. I just recently bought it. But yeah, his life.
I'm writing this down.
Yeah. But that's brilliant. there's a lot of, when you talk about lore, the lore that Noel Coward is going to bring you is going to just be amazing. But also, yeah, as far as like a creator, created some incredible, incredible pieces of theater that are still done. And I feel like was the Oscar Wilde of his time.
So, 100%. I kind of think of them in the same thought. I really do. I kind of think of this as the kind of the dandy wits, right?
Mm-hmm. And that's so my sense of humor. So I'm here for that. Yeah, so that's mine. And I think we're going for tea. And he's going to have just a little bit of a nibble, but not too much. Because he has to go be seen somewhere, and his suit has been fitted exactly to his size. And if he has but one bite too much of a macaroon, he shan't fit anymore. So he will have a sip of tea, and it shall be inadequate, and then he shall leave.
That shall be our lunch. Inadequate.
I love him.
I love that very much. I actually wrote that down. I want to read his biography. My number three is, and this may be basic bitchery here, but I can't help myself, and I just hope I get her on a good day, but I think I need to have lunch with Liza.
Oh, great.
I need to have lunch with Liza Minnelli. I don't
I'm
know
glad
what
we're getting
I'm
all the
get.
Fosse girls in there today.
Well, I think they haven't. They suffered enormously.
They did.
Lunch with Liza. I don't know what's on the menu. I think it's going to be hard to wrangle her in. I think we need to do it. I think we need to have lunch in like a McDonald's play place and kind of shut up and like shut up the entrances and exits. Uh-huh. So if the worst she can do is like go down the McBurgler slide and
it's your ball pit.
I'll just chase after her. Like, and if I need to put her in McJail, I will. But I mean,
you might be having the leftover cigarettes that you had from Bee's lunch.
Maybe just gin and vermouth. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe we'll just dine on regret. But
no, that's with Karen Walker.
It would be
gin and regret.
The stories. I have a friend, my friend Nikki, who has this insane story that I may have talked about on the show. Where she met Liza Minnelli in Portugal because she was dating one of her background singers, and the story of her hanging out with the cast and her behavior was so outrageous and very sad. Also, at the same time, she like disappeared at one point and came back a very different person, God only knows what. And I just think if you could reel her in to like get some real like no cameras around kind of stories from Liza Minnelli, the David Guest thing.
Oh
what
my God,
was
actually? I mean,
how
the iceberg?
What
I mean, the
are we
things
doing?
That woman has been through between her parents, her own career, her husband's, her friendships with like Michael Jackson and Elizabeth Taylor, and
maybe
you know, Barbara Streisand calling her for advice. Like,
what's that story? I don't know that story.
Yeah, Jim Caruso told me about that one because he, if you don't know friends, Jim Caruso, hosts a wonderful show, Birdland, and he's good friends with Liza. They've been together since
for
Liza
ages
was a
and ages.
I want to say he's a dancer on, and he obviously like he only has wonderful things to say about her because they're good friends. But yeah, he talked about when Barbara was going to play Radio City, and Barbara famously has really horrible stage fright, and she was really nervous, and she's been friends with Liza for a long time, and she was like, "Well, Liza, no, you're the best entertainer of our generation." And you've played Radio City multiple times. So would you come to my first performance? I'll give you two tickets, and then would you be willing to give me notes after? And so Liza took Jim. And he was like, it was just amazing because she got us like sixth row center to the first performance, and Liza sat there and very carefully like watched like everything and really took it in. And then afterwards they went back to Barbara's dressing room, and Liza gave Barbara her notes on what she thought worked, what she thought didn't, the moments that were good, that weren't, like, down to, like, the lights, the orchestrations, like, because Liza just, she knows how to put together
show business.
And Barbara was very, Barbara was like, oh my God, thank you, like, was very receptive to Liza's thoughts. And then they all went out to dinner with Donna Karen and a sitting senator afterwards and talked about politics. And he was like, I was just sitting here with Donna Karen, Barbara Streisand, Liza Minnelli, and Senator so-and-so talking about the State of the Union. And it was just an amazing night.
Well, I bet that but they had some very strong opinions. If I know Barbara Streisand in politics.
Yeah. But I've heard that Liza also is another one that, who's just lovely, who's just nice, you know.
What I hear is she's just like a fragile little bird. She's a fragile little girl inside, always, with this giant bravado around her. And I find that, I think that makes her fascinating. Yeah. And I agree that she's one of the greatest entertainers ever. Of course, I follow a couple Liza accounts on the old Instagram, so I get a daily dose of Liza in action, which I find to be helpful.
Yeah. Oh, great. What do you? Oh no, you said you're going to McDonald's. And...
Well, I think that's just to trap her, and then maybe it's lollipops with Liza.
Oh.
Maybe we're having lollipops with Liza for lunch.
I love that. Who doesn't love some alliteration?
I think I could get her to suck on a lollipop.
I think so. Yeah. I can get most anybody.
Yeah.
Just like that. You'll just find like out how that. Many legs it takes Liza to get to the center of the Tootsie Roll Pop.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's really what I want to know.
That's really show business.
who's your number two?
My number two. Another cat. I think we're into like the cattiness of it all. The stories. Tallulah Bankhead.
Oh! Wowee, wow, wow.
Another, I mean, not a musical theater gal, but... Tallulah Bankhead, at a moment probably done by more drag queens in the 80s than probably closely rivaled by her big rival, Bette Davis. So if you don't know Tallulah Bankhead, she was basically Bette Davis of Broadway. She did a lot of Broadway shows, and most of her hits, Bette Davis did the film version of, like Jezebel, Dark Victory, Little Foxes. Tallulah was just like a wild party gal of her time, too.
Yeah.
She was openly pansexual. She was unapologetic about drinking and doing drugs and partying. And I think part of the reason that Hollywood often didn't, like, she didn't cross over to Hollywood was she made too many people angry. But she was, like, a big Broadway darling, and was just this mega personality. And, just, I think, a fascinating person. Like, she and roasted herself the way, who am I thinking of? Who did the wonderful, Mae West was sort of like that too, where she, like, she had a quote where she's like, I'm as pure as driven slush, you know?
Yeah.
And had affairs with everyone.
Yeah.
Men, women, literally everybody. So that would be a fascinating lunch, just because you know she would tell you, because she was telling everybody at the time. She'd be at the papers and she'd be like, yes, darling, I spent the night with Claudette Colbert, and then I woke up and I said, move over, Clark Gable's on his way. And then I got out just in time. I had a double scotch and went to do a Broadway show. Bea Arthur was my understudy, and I told her, darling, you won't get anywhere, and it's not your fault. You have the talent, you just don't have the bone structure.
That's a true story.
She told Bea Arthur understudied her in a play. And one day, you know, Bea talks about when Tallulah stepped on stage and it would just be, the applause would be deafening, you know, and Bea Arthur was like, that is a star. To me, Tallulah Bankhead is the epitome of a star. And she was like, one day I went up to her after and I was like, how does it feel? You know, what is that feeling to be loved like that from an audience? And Tallulah was like, I know you're going to ask me, how does it feel? And it feels divine, darling. And I know you want to know because you will never feel it. And it's not your fault. It's not about talent. You have the talent. It's about bone structure.
My God.
And apparently B was like, that's what I said. I was like, I'm going to make it and I'm going to prove you wrong. And she did. But yeah, Tallulah, like, if you want to see her in a great film, she did a movie, Lifeboat, with a Hitchcock film where she's fantastic in. But yeah, just such a fascinating figure. And if you watch, just Google Tallulah Bankhead quotes. Her quotes are just magical. She was so unfiltered. And even she had a great guest spot on I Love Lucy, when Lucy and her get into this amazing fight, which is just magical. Yeah, anyway, Tallulah Bankhead, I would just love to go out for her with her. I think, similarly to your bee lunch, I think our lunch would just be a double scotch and cigarettes.
Yeah.
And that would be it. Right before she goes in to do a matinee.
Of course. Double scotch and she's got to go and she's on.
Yeah.
Oh, while you were talking, I looked up to Lil Bankhead on Wikipedia just to get a look at the bone structure. And the bone structure is there. The bone structure is structuring without question.
Yeah.
My number two, I don't think it'll happen in my life, but I do think it would be just delightful. And it's the basic bitch answer, but I just think it seems to me the kindest, most thoughtful person who wants to hear your story and lift you up in our industry is, I'm going to go have lunch with Lin-Manuel Miranda. And it's just going to be great. And Carly and I can do it at the same time if we need to.
I was going
to
say, yeah, his dance card is stacked. Yeah.
And I think it always will be. But I just get pure good human vibes from him. And I think rather than want to hear the stories, I think it would be really interesting to talk to him and hear what his point of view, how he keeps his head on his shoulders straight. Because he seems to me to have it. That's what I want to know from him. And it's in the Heights. We're somewhere in the Heights.
You're going to a cool, like, hole in the wall place that he just loves.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So that's all I'll say about it. I just think he just seems like the greatest human, and I would like to have lunch with him. So Lin-Manuel Miranda, take that, Carly Heidner.
I love that. I will crash that lunch in a heartbeat. He does seem absolutely delightful.
No,
he'll wear
delightful.
A little hoodie. He always.
Oh
wears
my god.
A hoodie.
He'll wear a hoodie.
We know what he's wearing. He's so adorable. No. Okay, so then that's my number one.
What is it?
Okay,
out of
this
the
is where I'm
billions of living in debt.
If you let me, I know, and I, if in case we know his theme, all of mine are like old, because I'm such a history nerd and Broadway and Hollywood history nerd. I want to hear those stories.
Do you know what? I ran into Dan Stone on the street the other day.
Oh, my producing buddy.
And we were talking about you, and we were just talking about how your love for all the oldsy timesy things and how, and I was like, it's the perfect POV to do this show with.
Thanks.
So go forth with confidence. We're talking about you behind your back.
Oh, thank you. I mean, I am inside. I am an 83-year-old British woman. And speaking of, for once, I'm going to pick people who are, in fact, alive. But again, and I'm going to cheat. If you let me have the chums, Carol and Julie, then maybe you'll let me have tea with the dames.
The dames, okay.
I don't know. Have you heard of Tea with the Dames?
No.
It's a documentary. So they had tea, and it's with Maggie Smith.
Maggie Smith?
Judy Dench, Joan Plowright, and Eileen Atkins.
Oh, my God.
I was going to, if you weren't going to let me have it, I was going to say Maggie Smith, because Maggie Smith is my end-all be-all. I am obsessed with Maggie Smith. I love her so much. The amount of times I have watched her Hay Fever clip from, speaking of Noel Coward, when she was young, you know, in all her old movies, her new movies, love Maggie Smith. But I also love Joan Plowright, Judy Dench, and Eileen Atkins. So it's a documentary, and they literally had tea, and they just sort of, like, dish, because they've all been friends since they were, like, in their 20s.
Oh,
and, you know, they, obviously, like, Joan Plowright was married to Laurence Olivier after he and Vivian Leigh broke up, and they all were leading ladies of the British stage at the same time. But all played different characters and all were close friends. And I just want to have tea with them. Like,
oh my God.
They're so funny. Like, their stories are so good. And they've all done everything. You know, what haven't, between those four ladies, what haven't they done? I mean, just even Maggie Smith and Judy Dench alone, who have been best friends, kind of like Carol and Julie, like another very famous friendship. They've been best friends since they were in their 30s. And, like, at one point, somebody's like, the interviewer is like, talk to me about Antony and Cleopatra. And they're all like, oh, I won't talk about Antony and Cleopatra. Don't make me do it. And they're like, oh, Jude, you're the only one brave enough to actually play Cleopatra. And she's like, well, she has to be beautiful. And I don't know. And Maggie was like, well, I did it, but I did it in Canada where nobody would see it. You know, like, they're just so funny. And I just love them so much. And I love tea and I love finger sandwiches. So I want Tea with the Dames part two, Tea with the Dames and Michael Berry. That would be my dream.
Oh my God, that's done. We'll produce it. And by we, I mean Danny.
Thank you.
Danny, he's on it. I was talking about this, my boyfriend was like, he was like, well, you've got to throw Judi Dench in there, right? And so, of course, I had her on my list, but I'm glad you put her in the count.
She made it.
She made it, but I mean, Maggie Smith, I've been seeing a lot of pictures of young Maggie Smith lately that have just kind of, somehow the algorithm thinks that I need to see them, like her. What's the one where she's in the red polka dots? Is that the hay fever that you're talking about? What is that?
No, that was another, that was an Agatha Christie movie that she did.
Okay.
Oh, she's great in that. No, the hay fever one, it was a stage. She did hay fever on stage. Noel Coward directed the production, and they filmed a scene for it as like a promo, like that aired on TV. Uh-huh. And it is so funny. But oh my God, I mean, prime of Miss Jean Brody. She was like Cate Blanchett. Like before Cate Blanchett, there was Maggie Smith.
You know,
where she was like young and beautiful, but like sharp. You know.
Yeah. This is making me want to do like movie marathons of all of these old Z Times Z actresses that you're having lunch with.
But even like so stage things. Like she did. There's a great clip from the Tony Awards when she won her Tony for Lettuce and Lovage. Go watch it. It is back when they used to play clips from plays too at the Tony Awards, not just musicals. And her Tony winning turn in Lettuce and Lovage it makes me wish I could go back and see a lot of the stage versions of, you know, a lot of these.
Yeah.
So thank God for the YouTubes. So we can see beyond
all
just
of the
films. We can
Tallulah see Tallulah Bankhead movies that were stolen by Betty Davis.
Yes.
All right. Here we are. Number one.
Wait, before you do your number one, should we do another shout out? Follow us, like us, review us, join our Patreon, Theater Count on all the socials. You know
do
what
it.
To do.
You do know what
it.
To do.
You'll have
do
the best it. Time.
It's we're worth you can it. You're worth us. It.
Yes.
Yes. And we'll spill the tea that we have.
We
Ouch,
shall.
It's hot.
Ooh. Mine's a little tepid, but you know.
Well, you've been here to tea for a while now.
I have. I've had a lot of tea today.
Not so, keep trying to stay regular. Gut health is important.
Cheetah
reminds us.
Okay. Bring us
all
home.
Right. My number one is Carol Channing.
Ah,
and I just have never thought of Carol Channing as an actual human. She is such a caricature of a caricature of a caricature of a caricature. Undeniably talented, but I think there's such a mystery about Carol Channing somehow for me. Like, how did Carol Channing manage to appear to the world to be about 95 years old for about 65 years?
Yeah.
I don't know how she did that while still playing Dolly. I just, the fact that she came around and like remarried her, like, childhood sweetheart in her very, very late golden years. Seen it all, been it all, but is not really an accessible person. She's not really a person to me. So I need to have lunch with her to find out what the person is behind the Channing of it
behind
all.
Behind the wigs. And now why did she never do an ad for Kleenex? Because she looks like a box of them. Like,
she does.
Why did she never? Like,
she
but
was
yeah,
the
it's
first
like,
Super
is it
Bowl
an act,
halftime
or
show.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, was that an act or was that really who she was? Like,
I don't know. Is the voice put on? Like, would you get with her and she'd be like, oh, yeah, sure, whatever. Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Right?
Like, who knows? But at lunch, I would like to find out. And this is the last thing I'll say before we sign off for the day. And to answer the question that's been on everyone's mind since the dawn of time, we would eat corn. Have a great night, everybody. And
that's showbiz.
Showbiz, kid.
My
whole list
that.
Revolved around that.
Yeah.
The whole list revolved around that moment.
Yes. It all built to that.